This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3302 for Tuesday, the 30th of March 2021. Today's show is entitled, Input Methods on Ubuntu. It is hosted by Clack and is about 15 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, I'm adding some input methods to a standard Ubuntu 20.04 install.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi, I'm Klacke, and I just bought a new computer. This doesn't happen very often, one of the things I have to do is to install some input methods, because I'm a member of a multilingual family, and we need to be able to type some Chinese. So, because we don't do this very often, every time is a little bit different. There's a new Ubuntu version, maybe there's a new input method framework, and you have to look everything up again on the internet and try things back and forth and see how everything fits together this time. So I'm on a perfectly normal Ubuntu 20.04 Focal FOSA, and the default input method is IBUS. These days. You can see this by going to settings, press the super button or Windows key and search for region. Then you come to region and language, scroll down a bit and click that. And there's another key, manage installed languages. And that's where you can see available language support. If you click install remove languages there, you make sure to click Chinese traditional in our case. And then off you go to install some packages. And on the same language support dialog box, there's also keyboard input method system. And it says IBUS, and I want to keep it that way. I want to customize as little as possible on my systems these days because I'm old and I don't have time for this stuff. So if IBUS is the default, I'm going to make this work with IBUS. Okay, so we installed the language support for Chinese. What does this mean? I'm back in the region and language dialog, and there's a list of input sources. So I click plus. And it says Chinese, great. And there it just says Chinese again and Hanyu Pinyin Alt-Gr. I tried this before. Chinese just means, okay, it's just a normal keyboard. I don't know how to type Chinese characters with this. So what we need to do here is to install some packages. Now you can use the Software Center, or I'm old school, so I use the terminal and apt. But if you go to Ubuntu software or you use apt on the command line, it's the same thing, it's the same name of the packages. Everything is called IBUS something because that's the input method framework in use. And my partner is a native Chinese speaker and she wants pinyin for just typing Latin characters phonetically and then get a list of characters that match that pronunciation. And she also wants quick, where 24 keys on the keyboard represent 24 different components of a Chinese character. So you press two of these and then you get a list of the characters that contain these two components. I don't speak Mandarin, and I want to use the Yutping input method, which is phonetic Cantonese. So my partner actually speaks Cantonese, but she learned pinyin phonetics, so she speaks Mandarin as well. I want Yutping. So I want the packages IBUS table Yutping. Let me see here what I installed. Get selections. Grep IBUS. So I want IBUS table Yutping. So that IBUS dash table dash Yutping. And if you know Yutping, you know how to spell Yutping. My partner wants IBUS table dash quick dash classic. There's a quick 3 and quick 5 as well, but she doesn't know what those are. She always used quick classic. And there's also an IBUS dash lib pinyin. So we install these packages on the computer, and now the potential is there to have these input methods. But then it's up to each user to add them to that user's configuration. So I would log in as my partner and I would add. That's the region and language settings page, input sources, and I would click plus. And then it says, among other things, Chinese. So I click Chinese. And now that I've installed stuff, there's Chinese Quick Classic in that menu. So I click that and then I click add. But there was no pinyin there. And the funny thing is that now if you click plus, and apart from the languages, there's also three dots at the bottom. You click the three dots, you get a longer list of languages, and at the bottom of that is others. You click other, and then you get a very long list of languages. And in that list, there's Chinese parentheses pinyin, or actually, it says intelligent pinyin. And that's what we want. So then click Chinese intelligent pinyin and add. So now my partner's account is all set up. I log out from her account. I log into my account and I click plus and Chinese. And among the Chinese, there's Chinese Yutping. So then I'm satisfied. But since I was doing all of this, I started thinking, oh yeah, what about emoji? So there's also other input methods than for normal languages. There's also there's one called IBUS table emoji, but it turned out that was not what I want actually, because that one only handles the classic emoji, like the combinations of Latin and punctuation and Japanese characters that look like some face or some person throwing a table or those things. No, what I want is the graphical Unicode emoji. And those are available in something called Typing Booster. So then I would install the package IBUS-Typing-Booster. And in the input sources, I would click plus three dots, other, and then in other, search for other again. And then, so this is an other language because it's not really a language. It says other, and in parentheses, typing booster. Once I've added that, I can click settings for it and enable. Oh, yeah, not in this menu. So what I would do is switch to that input, and how you switch is you use super and space. So super is the Windows key, for example, if you have a Windows keyboard. And then until you end up at the other typing booster, which has the rocket icon. And then in the notification area, you get the current language. So it would show EN for English, or would show ZH for Chinese, and in this case it shows the rocket. And if you click that rocket, then you can see Unicode symbols and emoji predictions among the menu choices there, and it's by default off, but if you click on, then you get access to all the smiley faces and puking faces and whatever you might have. You might wonder, well, if this is for getting emoji, why do you have to enable emoji? But the point of this is actually originally to help you type faster by allowing you to type normally, but as you type, it remembers words you've written previously. So it's a little bit like your on-screen keyboard in your mobile phone. Instead, except you are using your real keyboard, but it's still suggesting completion. So you would start writing apostrophe, and then you type APO, and it suggests, oh, maybe you mean apostrophe. Press 1 if you mean apostrophe. So you get a list of things, and you press 1 digit to choose the completion you want. Or just keep typing normally if you're not satisfied with the completions you get offered. So what happens when you enable Unicode emoji support is that you will start typing like smile, and then it offers like, maybe I can auto-complete this to the actual graphical smile character. So that's how that works. As a bonus, I can also mention that I'm a Swedish speaker, and it's a long struggle to handle keyboards when you're buying them not in Sweden and you're trying to type Swedish characters. Not because it's difficult to imagine other keys in the layout than are printed on the keys, but because when you buy a US layout, there's one key too few. So if you choose to have Swedish layout, you cannot use it for programming because you don't have smaller greater. So that means you need to flip back and forth. You don't have pipe either. So that means if you want to type something in Swedish, you need to switch to Swedish layout. And then when you want to do some Unix-y stuff, then you need to switch to US layout. And this is very frustrating. But luckily there's a Euro key layout that you can use. You do this by, once again, adding an input source in the region and language dialog. So you click plus, and then you choose English United States. And it turns out English United States, the language, has like 20 or maybe even more different layouts. And one layout is the Euro key, E-U-R key. So that's basically, if you don't use any qualifiers like Alt or Shift or those keys, then it's just like the face, the characters typed on the faces of your keycaps. So it's just a normal US keyboard. But when you use the right Alt key, you get access to more stuff than you would have in a usual US layout. So in my case, I'm interested in the O, A, and E mostly. So the E and E are A and O with umlauts, and I get them by just holding down Alt, right Alt, and pressing A, or holding down right Alt and pressing O. So how about the O? Yeah, well, that's near the A. The O is an A with a ring over it, and the way it's placed on the Euro key layout is I hold down Alt GR, the right Alt, and key and Q, and then I get the O. So now my new computer is all set up for being useful for typing Swedish, typing programming characters, typing Chinese, and even typing emoji. Now I just have one problem left that I haven't solved, and that's I'm using Ubuntu, as I said, but I don't get all my software from Ubuntu. I also install software using Geeks, which is a package system that you can install on the side of your existing distribution. Geeks is available as a distribution of its own, but you can also just use the packages on your existing distribution, and that's what I'm doing. These packages, for example, I'm using IceCat to access the Fediverse on the web. The IceCat browser is installed via Geeks, and that means now that I have my fancy input methods installed and activated, when I type in the IceCat window, nothing special happens. It's just the normal US layout. And I don't know how to fix this yet. I've been talking to people on IRC and they didn't know either. They said, oh, I don't even use this on Geeks. I don't even know if it's supposed to work in Geeks itself. I'm assuming it actually works in Geeks, the operating system, but Geeks, the package manager, and Ubuntu, the operating system, don't seem to cooperate well on this. So maybe I'll come back in a later episode to sort this out. So until then, this has been Hacker Public Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.